Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. People claim they can do it every Sunday morning. You might even go to church where your pastor claims he can do it too. He can feel the Holy Spirit working. I could just feel it. You walk out of church and people may even say, man, did you hear that music? It was so great. Did you hear that pastor's message? I could just feel the Holy Spirit. I've always wondered about that, probably because I've never been able to pull that one off. Feel the Holy Spirit. Now, there have been times when I thought I felt the Holy Spirit, but upon some serious reflection, I realized that it was probably just me nudging myself from within. It might have even been what I ate for lunch. Can we feel the Holy Spirit working? Pastor Bryant Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk, and he's author of an article titled, Where is the Holy Spirit? Pastor Wolfmiller, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be on the show. Great to you guys to be back, too. This is just fantastic.
I think it is, too.
I listen to you guys while I do the dishes, and my wife was more anxious than me for you to come back because we had this huge pile of dirty... you could hardly get around our kitchen when you guys were off the air.
You mean the dishes didn't get done without issues, et cetera, every afternoon?
Well, it was more difficult, I'll tell you that. You know, more it was begrudgingly the dishes would get done rather than the joyful doing of the dishes when I could listen to issues, et cetera, and wash away.
Well, I tell you what, during my time off, the dishes got done all the time because I had so much time on my hands.
You could have come for a visit and washed some of mine.
Our kitchen was spotless. It was absolutely spotless. I had Mexican for lunch today, okay? And Mexicans can sometimes do a number on you. There's a burning in the bosom. I don't know if it's Mexican or if it's the Holy Spirit. Can I feel the Spirit working?
Yeah, that's always the danger, isn't it? When we try to locate something with our feelings, you never can be quite sure, can you? I mean, I think when we move into the realm of uncertainty, and feelings is certainly the realm of uncertainty, then we're moving away from the gospel, because the Lord's gospel, it wants to give us this absolute certainty of faith, which says, yes, this is the Holy Spirit who is here and who is giving his gifts, and if we move to our feelings, then we can't have that certainty. So we should know just right from the very beginning that if we're depending on our feelings as kind of the dowel rod to determine where the Holy Spirit is, then we're using the wrong mechanism that the Lord has given us to locate where he's put himself.
So if the Holy Spirit isn't felt, what is he?
Well, we go to the scriptures and we see that the Holy Spirit, time after time again, is to be listened to or is to be heard. I think the best verse for this is John 3:8, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going." And so it is with everyone who's born of the Holy Spirit. How is it with everyone who's born of the Spirit? It is that they hear the sound of the Spirit. And that's how we're given to find where the Spirit is by listening, by hearing. It's by our ears. That's how the Holy Spirit indicates that he's present. I remember, Todd, the first time I visited the Missouri Synod Church, and I think it was for some evening Lent service or Advent or something like that, and I left. And, you know, having been kind of trained in what worship is but in the evangelical church, I left there and said to Carrie, my then-fiancée, I just didn't feel the Holy Spirit there. I mean, I had been trained to discern the presence of the Holy Spirit based on my feelings. And that can be vary from person to person, but it's some sort of emotional experience. But that's the wrong question. I mean, we really don't care if we feel the Holy Spirit. I don't think the Holy Spirit cares if we feel him. He cares if we hear him, because it's not through our feelings that he forgives our sins. It's through his word that he forgives our sins, and that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do.
What is the Spirit's job, according to Scripture?
Well, I love how Luther then will take this up, and he says in the Catechism that the Holy Spirit, and this is because Luther understands the great mystery of the Lord's name, that it's not only who he is, but what he does. And he really keys in on this word holy. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit who makes us holy or sanctifies us, and the way he does that is by forgiving us all of our sins. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to us with the Lord's word of law and gospel. So Jesus will say it like this. This is John 16, When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So the Holy Spirit comes to speak, and the speaking that he gives us is the judgment of sin. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So he comes speaking judgment of our sinfulness, and then he comes speaking of Christ's righteousness, which he delivers to us on the cross.
So this is a spirit that is never found apart from the clear, spoken, written word of Scripture.
That's exactly right. I mean, we know one of the great dangers, I mean, I think Herman Sosa pointed this out, that one of the great dangers of the modern church is that we're looking for the Holy Spirit in places where he has not put himself. But we can have this great joy in the church as Christians of knowing where the Holy Spirit has put himself for us, and that's exactly what you said. It's in the Lord's Word. It's in his... it's in the preaching of the law and of the gospel, and we know that he's there. I mean, when St. Paul can say something like, when he's going through the armor of God in Ephesians 6, and he talks about the salvation and righteousness and readiness to spread the gospel and truth, and then he says this, he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit come together. So that when we have the Scriptures, when we have the Scriptures preached and the gospel there laid out before us, the Holy Spirit is present, doing his work of convicting us of sin and giving us the Lord's righteousness.
It sounds like the work of the Holy Spirit is very little different than what Jesus did when he came preaching.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, and we see that this, I think, is really wonderful, Todd. When the Lord Jesus is speaking towards the end of the Gospel of John, and we have this long discourse, and he points out a number of things. First of all, that he is the one who is sent from the Father. I mean, Jesus wants to make that so clear that he repeats it over and over in the Gospel of John. We have it that he's the one sent from the Father, but he's going to do some sending himself. And who does he send? He sends out the apostles. And he sends out the Holy Spirit, so that these two are coming together, so that in the doctrine of the apostles, we have the Holy Spirit coming into the world to bring the Lord's church. So just as Jesus was sent from the Father, so he sends the Holy Spirit, and so he sends the apostles, and they're going out. These two things always accompany each other, then the apostolic word and the Holy Spirit, and it's what brings the church on earth. It's really fantastic, and you're right, it's exactly the same thing that Jesus did. I mean, we don't want to get into this kind of goofy dispensational division of the different works of God, as if there was an Old Testament dispensation for the Father, and then there was a little short dispensation for the Son, kind of mini-dispensation, and then we're now in the dispensation of the Spirit, and God is working in different ways, and then we'll go back to the millennial dispensation of the Son. I mean, none of this. No, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always... killing us because of our sin and raising us up in the gospel and in the word of forgiveness.
Okay, so during your days in the midst of pop American evangelicalism, you made allusion to this a few moments ago. Did you accept this notion? I don't think it's often actually articulated this way, but in practice it comes out this way, that if it's the Holy Spirit, it's got to be number one, deeply felt, and number two, new.
Yeah, I remember this couple, a friend of ours, two friends of ours that my wife and I had, and they were, they didn't even know each other, and they met each other, and the next day the Lord told them, you know how this goes, that they should be married, and everyone said, and this is how I think they even said, this must be a God thing, because who in their right mind would marry someone they've only married for a day? Well, 2 weeks later they were married. I mean, it was evidence that this was the leading of the Holy Spirit, because it was crazy, and it was off the cuff. It was kind of, you know, it had to be inspired because it was something new and nutty like this. So you know how it goes, is, you know, 2 years later and I think two children later, the Holy Spirit then came and told them that they could get a divorce because they weren't compatible for each other. I mean, it's crazy kind of thing. But it's always true, too, even in worship. I remember thinking that because Lutherans read their prayers, they weren't godly or inspired by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit works spontaneously or off the cuff or this sort of thing. But that's just not true. I mean, when we read the Psalms, that's the very word of the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to write these things. So, of course, the Holy Spirit is there. This idea that because something is new or is fresh, the Holy Spirit, that's, I mean, I think that's just an excuse. It gives license to our flesh and gives it this kind of sanctified covering. But it's a lie. The Holy Spirit works through the Word, not through kind of the varieties of our own emotions or our own desires.
Isn't the true author of novelty and innovation when it comes to teachings and practices in the church not, in fact, the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of the evil one?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we need to get back to the old church would call something new. They had a name for it, and it was simply heresy. And, I mean, there's a theological reason for that, too, because the Lord tells us in the Scriptures everything that we know to be saved. So can we imagine it now that there's some... that there was some truth that wasn't revealed to the Lord's people of old, that they needed to be saved? No, of course not. So the truth is the same from beginning to end because the Lord loves us from Adam and Eve until now. And so we have this marvelous comfort that the word that we have, the truth of the Scriptures, is the word that's once for all delivered to the saints.
Pastor
we
Brian,
can trust in that.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. We're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He's co-host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk and author of an article titled, Where is the Holy Spirit? More on this subject after our break. Stay tuned. On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Kimberly Heidenreich, Craig Parton, Mark Dowell, Scott DeCalloway, Kristen German, Pastor Daniel Schwieso, William Heine, Pauline Dowell, Mark Klemkin, and Pastor Jonathan Naumann. Thanks for your support.
Issues, Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues, Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Christ-centered. Cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Every day, more than 3,500 of our children lose their lives in the violent act of abortion. They are obvious victims, but are there others? American Victims of Abortion is made up of the mothers, fathers, and families of those lost children. Our lives permanently altered by the circumstances of our children's death. We are the other victims of the abortion industry. American Victims of Abortion works to broaden awareness about the effects of abortion and to seek healing throughout our culture. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life at www.nrlc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues, Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, Etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, now having cleared up whether or not the burning in the bosom is just the leftover from the tacos or the Holy Spirit, we can move on to talk about what the Holy Spirit really does do. Have you ever noticed that those who claim that the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing are always introducing the new thing? Now, they put the imprimatur of the Holy Spirit on it, trying to convince us this must be God that's doing this. But it happens on the left. Gene Robinson says that the acceptance of openly gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people into the clergy is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's doing a new thing. It also happens on the right. Every time your pastor stands in the pulpit and says, you know, instead of doing this, which the church has done historically, let's try this. I feel led by the Spirit. I think the Lord is leading us to do this. There's not a lot of difference between those two. Not a lot at all. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Kevin in Ohio says this via email. I heard this hymn one Sunday at an LCMS church while I was at seminary after teaching a confirmation and emphasizing that we should trust the truth rather than our feelings. How can we so easily fall into this false teaching? This is what he heard. This is the song. I'll read it to you. Please be patient, Brian. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings. I can see the glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the midst of his children, the Lord said he would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel the same sweet spirit that I felt oftentimes before. Surely I can say I've been with the Lord. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I think it should be fills this place. I've touched the hem of his garment. I can almost see his face. My heart is overflowing with the fullness of his joy. I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Yada, yada, yada. This is the kind of stuff that Christians are singing every Sunday.
At the end.
Well, yeah. Why go on? I mean, it's going to say more of the same.
You sing a hymn or a song or a ditty like that, and you completely undo, you know, everything that you might have said in catechism class or whatever, because it's, it puts it back to our own experience of the presence of God. But this is precisely and exactly what the modern praise and worship music is trying to do. We interviewed Chris Tomlin on our Table Talk radio show the other day. This is the guy who has 4 or 5 out of the top 10 CCLI hymn songs. He's number one on the charts. I mean, he's the leader of the praise and worship movement. And we were asking him, what's the purpose of a praise and worship leader? And it's to bring people into the presence of God. And so I asked him, how do you know when you're there? How do you know if you're in the presence of God? And his answer was, well, it's a mystery. The Holy Spirit's in us, and you just kind of know it. In other words, it's the whole point of this type of music is to induce some sort of experience of the mystical connection of our own soul to the divine nature. And that's what they're trying to do, but it's wrong. I mean, it's bad. It's unhealthy. I mean, not only if you have that feeling of the connection to the divinity through your own emotions and not through the means that the Holy Spirit has arranged in his church, you're bad. And then it's also doubly bad that when you don't have those feelings of the presence of God, then you're kind of cast out onto this ocean of despair, and you don't know which way is up or down because you think the Lord has abandoned you because you don't feel like he's present. I was looking, just horsing around before the show, looking on the internet, and I typed in feeling of the Holy Spirit, and there was all these chat groups from people asking, what do you do if you don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? How do you get that feeling back? Or how do you know, what does the presence of the Holy Spirit feel like? Because I think I felt the Holy Spirit, but I'm not sure. And people were talking about tingling or this overwhelming calm, or the Mormons would chime in with the burning in the bosom or this warmth or whatever. It's not the way the Holy Spirit wants to be identified.
Well, the danger isn't just, lest people understand us, that the danger is somehow we're overemphasizing emotion. It really is, in this case, the fact that such a view of the Spirit, that he is felt rather than heard, robs the Christian of the true avenue by which the Holy Spirit really does truly work, and therefore robs the Christian of that work of the Holy Spirit.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, when the Holy Spirit says, I come to speak the things that Jesus has told me, which is his love for us, which is given in the forgiveness of our sins by his shed blood on the cross, and you say, no, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's just your old doctrinaire Lutheranism coming out. The Holy Spirit's really in this kind of charismatic manifestation of all of these emotions. Then you're missing the gospel, and it's so focused on ourselves and our own ups and downs and emotional struggles and stuff that the devil has now separated us from the sureness of the gospel and the confidence that we have in Christ by faith.
If I sit in church on a Sunday morning, not that I would necessarily want to do this, but if I had no other choice, sat in church on a Sunday morning and listened to a preacher who was monotone, dry, at least in his rhetoric, uninteresting. And yet, if I listened to what he said, I heard the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Is the Holy Spirit still working?
Oh, yeah, precisely. No, in fact, that's one of the marvelous things about the liturgy is that it downplays this whole personality. Now, you can't undo personality totally, and the Lord wouldn't want to. He works through people, but that when we are not drawn to the charisma or the personality or the posture, the pastor or his good looks or his charisma or anything else, it's the Holy Spirit working in the Word that delivers to us the forgiveness of sins. So we don't want to ask this question: did I feel the Holy Spirit? I mean, that's just the wrong question to ask. We can ask the right question to ask is, did I hear the Holy Spirit? And that's a question we can begin to answer. We simply say, was the Word of God read? Was it preached? Was the law given in its sternness? Was the gospel given in its sweetness and all of this? And then we can know and have this confidence and answer it, even though the guy was, you know, boring or, you know, he's trying to put us to sleep or whatever, that the Holy Spirit was there and was working faith.
Let's take a quick phone call from Indianapolis. Frank is waiting on the line. Hi, Frank.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm sorry I kind of went off the line here for a moment, but... you know, it's so great to have you back, Pastor Todd. You know, you're in my thoughts and prayers. A lot of us around the Midwest here that know you or know of your work, you know, of your work here. But, you know, you remember the White Horse Inn when they interviewed Rod Rosenblatt, Mike Horton, and those guys interviewed Dr. Shuler. That same thing was, you know, he's not a charismatic, but they, you know, that one lady said that she touched the hem of his garment and was healed. You know, it reminded me of what you were saying a few moments ago. It's just so absolutely outrageous.
Frank, thank you very much. He mentions the preaching of someone like Robert Shuler, and he will claim that the Spirit is at work through his preaching because people walk away feeling the possibilities in their life, feeling better about themselves, and having their self-esteem bolstered. Does the Holy Spirit, is he Holy Spirit sent to improve my self-esteem, Pastor Wolf Miller?
No, I mean, the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is there, then the law is being preached, which totally demolishes our self-esteem. I mean, the real purpose of the law is to bring us to despair of ourselves. And so the Holy Spirit, far from giving us kind of confidence in ourselves, he's going to wreck our confidence in ourselves and expose our confidence in ourselves for the idolatry that it is. But then he's going to bring faith in Christ, confidence in his work and in his cross. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
We've talked a lot about the preaching with only about a minute here. The Holy Spirit is promised, and you referenced John chapter 3 just a moment ago. The Holy Spirit is promised to all through the water and word of baptism. A brief thought on that with 1 minute.
Sure. Well, the Holy Spirit comes to build and to strengthen the church, and this is how he does it, through the word and through his word, which he has connected to different means. And so his word united to the water in holy baptism gives and strengthens faith in the saving work of Christ, and likewise in the Lord's Supper. I mean, the Holy Spirit is present with the Word joined to the bread and wine and body and blood of Christ, and he's strengthening then our faith. He's delivering to us and in these things, why they're the means of grace. He delivers to us the forgiveness of sins, and because we have that, we have the sure hope of the resurrection of the body unto life and even life everlasting. So that through these objective and tangible means, we can look and say, look, I am baptized. I have taken and eaten and drunk the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of my sins, so that the Holy Spirit, I know, has given me new birth, has claimed me as his own, and has me as his child.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk, and he's author of an article, Where is the Holy Spirit? You can read this article under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand, and you'll find this article, Where is the Holy Spirit? By Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Thanks for being our guest, Brian.
Oh, fantastic to have you guys back.
It's great to be back. In the next hour of the program, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. The Pope was in the United States, and then very shortly afterwards, went to Australia. All of it makes news, but how does the media coverage of Pope Benedict's visits fall short? The Pope talks about a lot of things, but some of the most important things he talks about on a regular basis are often missed by the media. Colleen will tell us about that On the other side of this break, then Scripture and Tradition will be the subject for our conversation with Dr. Cameron McKenzie, professor and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hour two of Issues, Etc. is next. Stay tuned. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.